40. I'm not going to do that then, because the Holy Spirit's in control. So take that wonderful reading, Debbie, thank you for doing that, as an Old Testament context to what I'm going to say. Think, act, be like Jesus. This is part 30 of 30. Just to let you know, next Sunday's Remembrance Sunday. Andy's going to be covering that. The following week, we've got a children's service, and Alan Smith, former chief education officer, former head teacher, former archdeacon in the Church of England, is going to come and do a very engaging talk. He does most of our school work in Norwich. 26th of November, we're going to look at what have you believed, what have you learned through belief? What have you discovered through this, if you've been with us through this whole journey? So I encourage you to come prepared to share something encouraging, if you have been encouraged. But really, that's about what it means to become a new person in Christ. So we'll look at the whole thing together. Okay. Also encourage you today to pay attention, as I know you always do, because we may ask you later what you've learned. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago we looked at eternity, heaven and hell, Jesus coming back. Then we looked at single-mindedness last time, focus on God and His priorities for my life. Little quick recap on that. Being single-minded and being heavenly-minded are one and the same thing. And we equated doubt and worry to double-mindedness, which the Bible says is a bad thing. And faith is single-mindedness, which is a good thing. And we have to avoid the busyness of life, to slow down, and to be in that place. Then we talked about living off other people's leftovers, being a gleaner rather than a harvester, someone who takes responsibility, seizes the initiative, and has a first-hand spiritual life, not just by proxy because somebody else said that that's true. God calls us into that direct, first-hand relationship, and we talked about that. And then we said, together are we going to hold this town for Christ? We're not called to take it, we're called to hold it. It's already His. And how, as you focus a light from a diffuse light bulb into a laser beam, the unity of the photons gives the light its power, and you can cut through sheet steel. And we focus that with encouragement. Every time we encourage one another, every time we strengthen our relationships, we focus the beam a little bit more. And every time we get discouraged and we stop meeting together, the beam becomes more diffuse. So God's given us a strategy there, the cutting power. And we ended with this, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, press on towards the goal. Single-mindedness, heavenly-mindedness. Focus. But the question for today is, how do I deal with the hardships and disappointments of life? How do we do that? How are we actually going to do the other 29 parts of belief? Which is why hope comes last. I can cope with the hardships of life because of the hope I have in Jesus Christ. Hope is really important. As we heard, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. This is Old Testament theology, folks. Hope is really important. It always has been. But is there hope when the situation is hopeless? When all hope is lost, I mean, it's only lost. All hope is lost. Well, you can find it again. Are you feeling like that today, maybe? A little bit hopeless? A little bit like this cartoon of a little girl. The tea is gone, the cup is empty, all hope is lost. And maybe, you know, that's a flippant thing, but maybe you've got really good reason to feel that way. But we're British, aren't we? So where there's tea, there's hope. And what do? We put the kettle on, don't we? Put the kettle on. First thing we do. When we lost Dad, when we lost John, first thing we did, put the kettle on. British, we carry on. I'm going to come back to the Britishness of our spirituality right at the very end. What about hope deferred? Hope deferred, the Bible speaks about this in Proverbs 13. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. If your hope has been deferred by disappointment, if you've been waiting a long time and you haven't seen anything happen, if you've been waiting for hope to come and you're still waiting, then maybe you've kind of given up on healing, on revival, on freedom from addiction, whatever it is for you. Has it eliminated your ability to believe in breakthrough? Because you say you've got hope, but actually in reality you've given up. And an even better question is, do you have more hope than you need for yourself? We're going to look at that. We're going to look about having an overflow of hope. Just a moment. So let's think about hope deferred. Have we actually got a living hope? Anyway, what is this hope? So I want to just rattle through some scripture, and then we'll get to the scripture that the Lord made on heart. What actually is this hope? Well, the first thing is, hope comes from resurrection. I'm going to throw some scripture at you. This hope comes from resurrection. And if you don't want to write it all down, I'll send you the PowerPoint. This hope comes from resurrection. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, says Paul. That's what it was all about. And if it's only for this life that we have hope, we're to be pitied. In his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So it's all about resurrection. That's what our hope is. This hope also saves us. Romans 8 makes that clear. I'm not going to read the whole passage. This hope is what saves us. So it's fundamental. This hope comes from word and spirit. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. It's from the word. It's also from the spirit. A familiar passage for those of us who were here a couple of years ago. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Spirit as well as the Word. It's the source of our transformation. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. It makes you more like Jesus. The hope does that. And finally, this hope is that Jesus is coming back. We wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. The hope is Jesus is coming back because he's alive. So Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again, Jesus is coming back. Hope is on the way. But the thing is, as we approach Advent in a month or so's time, Advent is very much a time of already, but not yet. Already, but not yet. And it's kind of a time when we remember Jesus coming as a baby, but also we remember him coming back in his glory. And this tension between now and not yet is really important if we're going to live the life of Christ, which is what we're called to do. And the reason it's really important, folks, is because it's who he is. It's who he is. That's his life. That's his story. Really important. And that's just a side note. What form does this hope take? How can we picture it? How can we imagine it? What would it look like to us? And how can we experience it? Well, we have an anchor. We have an anchor. That's the picture that's given. We have an anchor. This hope is like a firm and steady anchor for our souls. In fact, hope reaches behind the curtain and into the most holy place. Jesus has gone there ahead of us. If you know your Old Testament theology, the high priest, only the high priest, and only once a year on the Day of Atonement would go into the Holy of Holies behind the curtain where the Ark of the Covenant was. With fear and trembling. They'd actually tie a rope onto him in case the power and presence of God killed him, and then they could pull his body out without going in and dying themselves. Such was the fear. But that's where Jesus has got us anchored now, in the Holy of Holies. So I've got this rope here. There's my life. And if I pull on it, quite a lot, I find out where it's anchored. This is a picture. There, we've got it anchored, but right back there, somewhere high up, back, right up there, behind where I can see, it's firmly anchored. So my life's down there, however hard I pull on it, I ain't moving. We're anchored in the Holy of Holies. So another side note, really important, if we're talking about high priests, cities of refuge in the Old Testament. If you did something bad, you could run to a city of refuge 30 odd miles away, on average, and you'd be offered a safe haven until the death of the high priest. Really important for us Christians living today, we don't have to do that. Because when we're bad, we've got a high priest who's immortal. So our safe haven is eternal. Permanent state of things. Great. Be encouraged. Side note there. Not important. Dismiss that. We'll carry on. Go back to the early church. Look at early church history for you. This is a symbol from end of 2nd century in one of the catacombs of Rome. And the picture is two fish who've been caught on an anchor. This is Cyril of Jerusalem, right around about the same time. You are fish caught in the net of the church. This was preparation for baptism that he's talking about here. You are fish caught in the net of the church. Let yourself be taken alive. Do not try to escape. It is Jesus who is playing you on his line, not to kill you, but by killing you to make you alive. That's early church father. You go up to about 312 AD when Constantine becomes emperor, and we start to see the cross emerge as a symbol. Why wasn't the cross used as a symbol for the first couple hundred years? Because it wasn't a symbol of hope, because they were still crucifying Christians. So they had the anchor. Constantine declares Christianity a state religion. Cross becomes a symbol of hope, power, and the anchor sinks from view. But what we're hooked onto now, like these little fish, is infinitely stronger than anything we're going to go through. The anchor is still there. Maybe we need to rediscover the anchor a little bit. Okay, I'll put this down. Hope is a rope. Hope is a rope. And if you have this rope, you can cope. That's my little bit of Dr. Seuss for you. Hope is a rope. And if you have this hope, this rope, hope, you can cope. I'll just encourage anybody who wants to fend the banter with more hopes that rhyme with that. It's fine. But hope is a rope. You know, the thing is about traditional anchor, it reaches down. It reaches down. And down on the ocean floor, there's lots of shifting sands. There is nowhere in this world where you can find a safe anchor point that's not going to shift around when the tide moves. And this old anchor has been washed up and has long since lost its rope. But traditional anchors hold things still. That's their job. But this type of anchor that we're talking about today isn't like that. It moves us forwards and upwards. We're going to look into this a little bit. Because we're anchored, not down, we're anchored up. I preached on this before a couple of years ago. I spoke about hooking on to a helicopter that airlifts you out. But a different picture today. First of all, I want to give you something from a theologian. This is Jean Daniel. In virtue of a mysterious force of gravity, the glorified Christ draws the whole of humanity upwards. When I am lifted up from the earth, Jesus said, I shall draw all things to myself. We're being pulled upward, folks. We're being pulled upwards. And this is scripturally true. If you doubt what I'm saying, 1 Thessalonians 4, all of us who are still alive will be taken up into the clouds together to meet the Lord in the sky. From that time on, we will all be with the Lord forever. Now, whether you believe that's physically true or a picture, it doesn't matter. It's up. This elevator's going up. Be encouraged. We're being drawn up, not down. Fastened to the rock which cannot move. Grounded firmly deep in the Saviour's love. Know the old hymn? We have an anchor. Fastened to the rock. Anybody been climbing? Anybody been rock climbing? Okay. These are rock anchors. This is what there is at the top, which you have to put your trust in. They don't look very meaty, but they'll do the job. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I don't see where this is anchored, but I can pull on it hard and it ain't going anywhere. And you have to have that trust in the rope if you're going to climb. You've got to trust that it's anchored into the rock at the top. But imagine a life with no rope. Imagine a life with no rope. Imagine climbing with no rope. As these nutters are. I mean, honestly, I'm pretty, you know, live and let live. You know, everything's permissible, not everything's beneficial. These guys are nutters. Just saying, in the Lord. Okay? We need a rope for when we slip. We need a rope for when we slip. When we sin. When we fall. We need a rope. Because the only destination is down, and I don't want to go down. I'm trying to get up the mountain. I don't want to go down the mountain. This is a much healthier picture. If we slip when we're attached to a rope, we get to the top anyway. Even if we're injured, even if we're unconscious, we still reach the top, because this pull us up. The lead climber is already up. One's gone before us to secure the way ahead. And you know, when you put your trust in that rope, having confidence in God pleases God. That's the whole point of faith. How secure is secure, though? I mean, really, is it secure? Because those rock anchors didn't look too secure to my life. But maybe it's more like this. You've seen these on the side of the railway, these rock anchors, they drill into the rock. Great long raw bolts that are anchored deep into the rock. Maybe it's more like that. Maybe he's got it really secure. But maybe that's not meaty enough for you. Maybe you want to picture something really heavyweight. Can you imagine, folks, the type of security, the type of fixing that is on the end of this rope? Huge security. And since we have such a hope, we are very bold. That's the level we want to reach. Absolute confidence that's going to hold. So be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. I want to see that kind of faith rise in this church. I want to see that kind of faith rise in me. Can you imagine how secure that is? So,
here's the thing.
I digress one moment. Where's my life? This other end is anchored into Jesus himself. In the very throne room of heaven. This end, I'm not holding on to it. It's attached to my very soul. I didn't tie it on, he did. And no matter how hard I pull, it can't come out. Lest it pull my very soul from me. That's how anchored we are. There's nothing I can do to remove it. There's nothing I can do to change that. He attached it into my very soul. maybe all this climbing isn't working for you. Let's find a different picture. I was with someone this week in a meeting and got a phone call that somebody else was in town, another church leader, getting to come and preach here next year, he's a top bloke. And he just had an encounter with an 83-year-old lady in Dawlish. And she was dying, and she called him to come and talk about her funeral. And he came to us in tears because of, he said, I've been in the presence of a giant. And she said this, I'm not tethered to my past. I'm not tethered to my past. She'd had a very tough life. All manner of problems with her children and her health. And she said, I'm not tethered to my past. If you imagine a hot air balloon, different picture for you. A hot air balloon tethered to the ground. If you're tethered to the ground, if you have a tethered soul, you're held in one place and you're unable to move. You're maybe unable to let go because you're in the balloon, it's tied down on the ground. Maybe you're living under the illusion of being safe. After all, you're not going anywhere. The wind can't blow you off course. And you're definitely being kept from your final destination. You're tethered. You're going nowhere. The thing is about when you tether a balloon, 1 hour of tether time on a hot air balloon generates as much wear and tear on the balloon fabric as 3 hours of normal flight. It's a stressful condition for a balloon because it can't move. It looks safe and secure, but it's actually incredibly stressful. As any of you who've had long-term problems, mental problems, health problems, other problems, it's incredibly stressful. And if there's things holding you back that are not of the Lord, they're going to wear you out. It seems safe. You know, to do the only safe thing, we'd stay in our beds, wouldn't we? We'd never attempt anything. But actually, it's not what we're meant for. We're not designed to be held fast on the ground. We're designed to fly. We're designed to go somewhere. We're not designed to be held. Which comes to one of my final points. The role of the ground crew, the pilot of the balloon's in the basket. But the ground crew are the one who untie the balloon. Their job is to set it free. At the right moment, set it free and off it goes. If we know people who are tethered, who are being held back by things that are not of the Lord, whether that's anxiety, addiction, whatever it is, our job as brothers and sisters in Christ is to untie them, which for me is the most beautiful description of discipleship. Discipleship is untying people and setting them free. Quick recap. The rope is firmly anchored in heaven on one end and firmly attached to your very soul on the other. The unbreakable fixing is the finished work of Christ, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. The pull of eternity is drawing us upwards. And our task is to untether others to join us. What difference does it make in the way we live? Well, firstly, hope in Christ gives us a different place to look. We look to Him, not to the world. We look upwards, not down. That's what hope is. It lifts your eyes. Hope in Christ gives us a different way to think. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hope does that. It changes you. It makes you a different person. And it gives you a different life to live. A hope-filled life. As I close, this organisation works in towns and villages around the UK to bring hope. Mission, evangelism in the community. So I want to ask you, as we come to the end, do you have hope for a United Kingdom? I mean that in a spiritual sense. We're British people placed in a British country for a British time with some friends who are joining us from other places who are great to have you with us, Mum. But what God is doing here is rooted in the history of this country. Do you have hope for a United Kingdom? Every year in the Royal Albert Hall, they have the last night of the proms. Most British thing going, isn't it? And they all get together and they wave their flags and they sing this song, Land of Hope and Glory. Can you imagine that being a spiritual reality in our land? A land of hope and glory? Because that's what they meant when they wrote it. I mean, over the years we've come up against some dark forces, Nazi Germany just to be one of them. And let's remember where we've come from. A Christian nation. Do you have a hope for a United Kingdom? Do you believe he can do it? Well, my hope is that your life will be filled with meaning and love and purpose and wholeness now and in eternity. My hope is that your life will have an overflow of hope for other people. I was hearing a story of an old lady who was passing away, and her family were around her. She was a Christian lady. Her family were around her, showing concern for her. She said, "Don't worry about me. I've got more hope than I need. Go and tell them they haven't got enough hope. I'm all right." Have we got that kind of spirit in us? And my hope is that you'll be untethered from your past and set free to fly. Let me pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for the reality of the hope that you place in us. Thank you that it's unbreakable, unshakable, unchangeable, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Thank you, Lord, that even if we become unconscious, the lead climber will pull us up. And Lord, if we can just do our part of untethering one another, we're going to float up anyway. And I thank you that we have this anchor for the soul that's steadfast and sure and is taking us somewhere wonderful in this life and in the next. In Jesus' name, amen.